Hi, I hope you're well. It's Adam Peacock. This edition of the Fox Football Podcast is a little bit different. Tara Rushton of Fox Football sat down with the undoubted superstar of Australian football right now, Sam Kerr, earlier in the week to talk about life in lockdown. Sam is stuck in London, waiting to get going again with her club Chelsea. It's a frustrating time for everyone, and Sam paints a picture here of what it's like as a professional footballer to be sitting around waiting for the world to start again. Please enjoy this special edition of the Fox Football Podcast, Tara and Sam.
Hey, Sammy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. What day number isolation is it for you today, and what day is it over there? Or is it all rolling into one?
Yeah, it's definitely all rolling into one. I think we're in week 7, maybe?
Yeah,
it seems a bit crazy, but yeah, I have no idea what day it is or really what time it is. I'm just kind of rolling with the punches as everyone else is.
Can you give me an idea of what your jam action-packed agenda looks like today?
Yeah, so actually it's been kind of crazy. Like, you wouldn't believe how many, you know, brands, people want to know what, you know, athletes are getting up to. So it's been quite busy, and obviously normally my life's pretty hectic, so I've tried to keep it that way. So normally I wake up. Today I've woken up, and because I had this lovely chat with you, I've said I'll have go walk and get myself a coffee, go for my morning walk. But normally I'm up working out, get my hour a day, and sometimes play tennis. I'm lucky I have a tennis court in the middle of my apartment block. But yeah, there's been a lot of Matilda's meetings still going on. We're still trying to keep on top of, you know, our kind of teamwork, and then there's a few Zoom meetings with the Chelsea team, and yeah, it's quite busy actually.
Quickly, what's your go-to coffee, and have you already got a favorite little coffee place nearby where you're living?
Yeah, my go-to coffee is just, I'm just a regular latte type girl. nothing too crazy. And yeah, I've been, normally when there's no isolation, I walk a bit further down into Richmond, and there's a nice Australian coffee shop, and I just sit there, and it's owned by an Aussie guy. But I've been actually going to one just close up the road. It's called Richmond Hill Bakery. And yeah, just cute little coffee place.
Can you paint the picture for us back here in Oz and elsewhere in the world of what it's like over in the UK at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the cases over here are much worse than in Oz, so it's a little bit scary. I actually have an app on my phone which tells me how many cases and deaths in my suburb, because are quite scary. I think we're at about 400 in my suburb. And yeah, there's an hour a day each person is allowed to exercise, with no more than two people, and within that exercise obviously still have to keep social distance. Going to the shop is a bit of a nightmare. You know, you have to follow the arrows on the floor. You can't skip aisles. You can only go up and down. And yeah, watching the news is quite scary, knowing that I'm kind of in the middle of it all.
That must be, that sounds pretty frightening, to be completely honest with you. So how are you, I guess, keeping yourself sane from a mental and a physical perspective? And are you finding it difficult? I know that you said you've been pretty busy with your Zoom calls and whatnot, but then there's a fair amount of self-motivation as well.
Yeah, I think it comes and goes. Like, some days I've, you know, got up and I've really got after it and been doing things that I don't normally do. You know, I haven't had time while you're playing football all year round to work on your fitness and do things that you wouldn't normally do because it's so structured. So some days I've been waking up and just going long runs, and then other days I wake up and, you know, I just skip training, and that's okay. I feel like it's more beneficial to just kind of feel, you know, excited and happy about working out rather than getting out there and forcing yourself in this time. Obviously, I've had to force myself a little bit being an athlete, but most of the time I've quite enjoyed it. And yeah, just finding a balance, really. Like, it's been difficult. And like I said, some days I get up and I'm out of bed, and then other days I'm on the couch 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay, does it help that the silver lining, I guess, to this for you, given the pandemic worldwide at the moment, is that you went from potentially looking down the barrel of having this cross-Europe relationship with Nikki, your partner, and now you're both living under the same roof with each other 24 hours a day. So Nikki was over in Norway about to kick off her career with Klepp, and now back together again. How's that going?
Yeah, I think that's one of the silver linings. We're pretty grateful. We were talking about it last night, actually, that we probably got 6-7 weeks together that we didn't expect to have this year. So that's one thing we're really lucky about. But at the same time, we're both kind of stir crazy not being able to do what we love. And normally, you know, when we lived together in previous times, we'd had football as kind of an outlet. Whereas now, we're just kind of taking all our competitiveness out on each other. It's, you know, we can't tackle other people on the football field. It's more to hit a ball with each other in tennis. And it's getting pretty competitive. And we both hate losing. So that's one thing that it's kind of shown, I guess, in quarantine, is that when you don't have an outlet of kind of letting off steam, it can be difficult, but it's been quite fun.
Who's the key motivator between the both of you? Because I know that you've reluctantly jumped on TikTok. How do you feel about your new TikTok career? How do you feel about Nikki's TikTok career?
Well, I'm going on the record and saying I don't have a TikTok career. There's a few of fake accounts out there that pretend to be me, but I do not have a TikTok account. Nikki obviously loves TikTok. I actually find it quite, you know, it's fun. It's a bit of, I love watching all the videos, but it takes time and effort, and you get into it some days and then other days not, but it's not really my thing. I can't dance or sing, so it's not for me, but she's loved TikTok.
And what about the new addition to the family, or maybe not so new? You can give me a little bit of background on Helen. So tell me, Helen. Who is Helen?
She actually put her head up when you said that.
Helen, so, where are you?
She's looking at me like, who said my name? So we being away from home and our pets, we loved kind of fostering and having dogs and cats kind of have a little bit of a break from the shelter. And we actually went to the shelter last year in Chicago to pick up a cat, because it's quite difficult having a dog, you know, taking it walking all the time, and it just became a bit too much. So I said to Nikki, I think I need a break and I want a cat. So we looked online and we chose this cat, and we would go pick it up, and we opened the door to go get it. Helen took off out the door and was running around this shelter, and I was like to Nikki, that's my type of cat. And so we picked it, fostered her, and when it was time to take her back, we just couldn't. And actually, I'm so grateful that I brought her from Chicago to Seattle to London, because literally she's been my saving grace, just having another kind of thing in the house, being in a new house, a new environment. It's nice to come home to someone and talk to her. I know she doesn't talk back, but it's actually, she's been, I'm very grateful for her right now.
So Helen's the big frequent flyer. Does she have a nickname or anything like that?
I think, you know, she's got one of those names that she doesn't need a nickname. Everyone remembers Helen, and she's
what kind a serious of name, Sam. Do you know what I mean? She's, you know, Helen. You think
so? I didn't pick it. The shelter picked it, and she just kind of, it's just Helen. Like, everyone knows her. In my team at Chelsea, she's famous because I talk about it, and you can't forget the name Helen. So
would you say Helen is more Sam Kerr personality or Nickster? Who's personality or a bit of a nice balance of both?
I think she's got some of my traits. I think she's quite annoying, and I like to annoy people and be a pest. She does that a lot. She'll go and knock over bottles and stuff off the counter and wake you up. But yeah, I think she's more Nikki, probably. Calm, you know, all those type of cat traits. Not me.
I love the way that your teammates already know about Helen, and it's like what you say, it's a very memorable name. I thought there's only a matter of time before she becomes like a social media superstar. Are you going to start your own account for Helen?
I've already got my own account for my dog, and it's really tiring to run someone else's Instagram account.
You do have time. Talking about your teammates and them knowing about Helen, how Chelsea. What is the situation? Can you give us a little bit of insight into, I guess, dates or what the talk is of when the Women's Super League could get going again?
Yeah, I don't think there really is a date. I think I've heard through the media, you know, June is the mid-June, it looks like. But from the club, there's been no, like, talk of when we'll come back. We've got plans to return to training, but obviously it all depends on what the government says. So at the moment, you know, the club's been really supportive. They've been writing our programs, helping out, you know, delivering exercise bikes, weights, all those types of things. But at the end of the day, they can only do so much. It really depends on what the government allows us to do. So hoping for end of May return to training, but I don't know if I can see that happening. So fingers crossed, but you know, you also want it to be safe when you return.
Gosh, so end of May. Well, that's pretty soon, actually. That'd be really positive, I guess, if that could get off the ground. And from you probably, and I know that you're a sports nut, you would have been across what's happening over here in Oz with the state of codes in general. How is your league over there and how has it been affected by the pandemic?
Yeah, I think we're in a totally different position than probably Australia, because we're very lucky. We're blessed with probably being under one of the richest clubs in the world. But in saying that, I do know that still some leagues in the Premier League are still struggling. I've read that, you know, I think Burnley, who's 10th place, has said they're struggling. There's teams that, you know, have started to come forward and say football has to start again. But we have been really lucky. And I know as a football club, Chelsea's done some amazing things. They've made their hotel available for NHS staff and done some really amazing things. So I can only speak on behalf of Chelsea because I don't really honestly know too much about other clubs. I know 40 over at Arsenal's in the same boat as us. They've been, you know, kept quite well. But yeah, I guess I think we're really lucky that we have the backing of the Premier League clubs behind us.
Have you, and how often, you said that you know, you're Zooming into meetings and whatnot. How often are you keeping touch with the team or teammates? Is it more of a physio and strength and conditioning coach, or is it Emma Hayes in particular? How does that line of communication go?
Yeah, I think every player is really different. We have a Zoom call once a week where everyone jumps on, from, you know, physio to marketing to video, everyone jumps on, which is really nice. We kind of just get an update, say if we've got any problems. They allowed people that could get back into the country when the time comes to go home. So a lot of girls are home. Obviously, me being all the way from Australia, that wasn't really I couldn't really do that because I was afraid that I'd be able to get back out. I speak to the strength and conditioning. It's really just what each player needs. And some players have asked to be left alone. Other players, like myself, have kind of been asking for more and more because I'm getting kind of over doing the same thing. But teammates, it's just like usual, you know, chatting over WhatsApp, chatting over a house party, just really hanging out, but from afar.
Is it hard as an athlete in the perspective, and you say it can get a bit repetitious if you're outside for say an hour a day, to kind of, you know, originally it's good that they potentially said end of May and so you have a date, but then not having a date to train towards, so you're training to keep yourself in good nick, but you are kind of thinking, oh, I don't know what the date is I'm training for.
Yeah, and that's been honestly the hardest part. Like, I would have rather them said, all right, we're coming back July 30th, and then that's just the date. Whereas now, like, I'm training at the moment, but, like, I don't know if I'm football fit. They've taken the goals out of the parks here. So for me, I'm probably getting to a stage where I'm probably as fit as I was when I was coming back from injuries, because I've been doing long distance runs, I've been lifting, I've been doing other things. But, you know, I do 2 football sessions a week at the mat most, and the grass is like playing, you know, in sand pits. Like, it's not football fields that I'm used to playing on. So I don't know, like, it is difficult. I'm training more, I feel like, to be a track runner than a football player, but that's the only way I can keep fit at the moment.
Yeah, so your training's change then? Obviously, it's been modified. You're saying you feel like you're training for a track runner. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those, I've just got to do it. You get on those kind of, you know, they say you become a gym junkie. I've kind of become a running junkie. And like some days I'm like, left up and ready to go for a run. And then other days I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I just can't believe I'm actually doing this. But I actually got a notification on my phone saying that we've run 120 kilometers this month. And I was like, and we've got one more day today and we're going for a big run. So I was like to Nikki, we're probably going to run close to 130 kilometers this month. And I would never do that. And I hate running. I hate long distance running. Like I was, you know, those kids that used to hide in the bushes at cross country day, that was me. And now I'm just, you can find the joy in being outside for an hour, I guess, but it's painful.
Do you listen or do you chat to Nikki? What's the go-to?
When we're running hard, like intervals, we put in a Beats headphone and listen to the same song.
Okay.
And then when we're going for kind of longer but shorter, we don't listen. We talk and kind of come and go in the conversation because I'm lucky the park I live near is like one of the most amazing parks I've ever been to. So it's really beautiful. There's lots of wildlife, lots of deer.
Beautiful spot. And so that's your training. I mean, you probably being across social media, you can see people are uploading how they're spending their time in isolation and what they're doing with themselves. When you're not getting that time outside or doing a little dash to Sainsbury's, you know, it seems like a bit of a mission over there. What are you both doing? And Helen included in this conversation, of course, as part of the family.
Like it's comes and goes, you know. I've probably spent more money on things like tennis. I've bought a rugby ball. I've got just like tennis balls to play inside the house, obviously doing sport things. But honestly, we've been smashing Netflix. We've baked a little bit, but I'm not really into it because you have to eat what you bake and it's, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to get fit in quarantine, not fat. But yeah, just normal things. Like it comes and goes. Like I was doing puzzles a bit and then I got frustrated at that. Just average. Played PlayStation for a bit over that now. So I'm getting to the end of ideas, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Play Candy Crush a fair bit, but any stuff that I wouldn't normally do, you know?
Yeah. So what would you not normally do? Because I know that you're, and it's, I mean, it's hard, right? Because, you know, London, it's been warm, but now you've got that hour outside. When you're in Perth, like outdoorsy, beach, living frio, completely different lifestyle. What do you find yourself doing more in this situation right now that you're like, oh, I probably would not have done that 2 months ago?
Watching Netflix. Like I've never been someone that can sit down and watch a movie, and like that's probably the thing I've done the most. I could rattle off 10 movies that I've seen in this quarantine, people jaw drop that I've never seen, because I just am not someone that sits down. And I said the other day, I should be appreciated for this time, because as an athlete, that's what you want. You always are like, I just want to sit on the couch and not be bothered and not feel guilty for it. And that's what's happening right now. But I hate it. I'm like, this is so boring. I feel like I'm wasting time and I miss my hectic life, you know. But it's, I think that my couch has got more of a workout than it's probably got in the last like 10 years.
So what are you watching? What are the series that you've, and I've got to ask you, do you just go bang, like series is on, we're binging through season 1, 2, and 3 and that's done? Or are you kind of like pace yourself, got a couple going at the same time, you know?
Well, normally I don't watch any series. I don't watch anything, like people, only sport. I mean, people ask me, oh, have you seen this movie? I'm like, I've not seen any movies or any series. Don't ask me. So now I'm doing the opposite. We've watched 2 series of Ozark and in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I'm really like particular about what I watch. So I'm not like quite sure if I like it yet or not. The only series I've ever liked is Breaking Bad. And Power, to be fair, but yes. I'm still a bit like reluctant if I like it or not, but there's nothing else to do. But Nikki doesn't really like watching sport as much as me, so I've been struggling to watch sport, and I know there's a few good series on at the moment. We watched the Jordan thing, obviously, but
yeah,
you know, there's been replays of Matilda's game, Socceroos. I watched the Socceroos game the other day against Uruguay, and yep. she didn't watch. It's just, you know, she hates watching replays. I could watch a replay the day after a game. So yeah, it's been difficult not watching sport, to be fair.
And quickly, because I saw that and it got a lot of traction on social media, that Nikki was like, Sam and I are going to sit down and you're going to watch Bridesmaids for the first time. People were like, no, what? What were your thoughts? Yeah. You know, out of 5 stars, how many stars does Bridesmaids get?
Look, I have a different sense of humor. So I found it funny, but it wasn't up there for me of the hype that people had made out for all these years that I hadn't seen Bridesmaids. I'm more of, I don't know if you've ever seen The Sweetest Thing with Cameron Diaz. That's like my type of humor, like kind of stupid, just like dumb humor. Whereas Bridesmaids was like, I found it fun, but I wouldn't, it didn't live up to the hype, put it that way.
How are you enjoying The Last Dance? I'm sure I'm not surprised that you've watched that.
Yeah, I actually am really enjoying it. It's really interesting because obviously, you know, some of the games that are being played and like the years they're putting up, I wasn't even alive. So, yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying seeing it because obviously like you go back and watch Jordan games and moments and hear about him, but to actually like sit down and watch, you know, what kind of, the biggest thing for me is seeing what he was like off the field, because I never experienced that. I obviously knew he was a great player on the field, but, you know, seeing that he had like 7 security guards and, mm-hmm. you know, back then, that like, it was crazy. Whereas now, you know, that I can't think of someone that's like that right now. Like, I think athletes kind of, there's so many Michael Jordans, but you know, there's so many huge athletes like that, but my mum like just said like there was nothing like him back then, so that for me has been really interesting. And
I was going to ask you, because I know it is a different era and it is generational, and I guess it's when you think about the era that Michael Jordan played in, I mean, we're all over social media now and that kind of blows up athletes as well. If it came to a one-on-one in modern day time, do you think Michael Jordan or LeBron and
don't do it?
I've
always said I hate this question because I just think there's so many athletes that like you just can't compare like LeBron to the Michael Jordan era. It's just mm-hmm. different, you know? It's like I don't know if people watch AFL, but like putting Buddy back in, you know, the era back then, like everyone's like, oh, Buddy's not like this guy or that guy, and I'm like, yeah, but look at Buddy, like you know. And then it's like Messi and Ronaldo to Maradona. It's just different. It's not just that sport. But I can't comment on that because I played in Chicago for 2 years and I got smashed for being such a huge LeBron fan. But I didn't really experience the Jordan era, so my favorite is LeBron. But I don't know who's better. I don't want to start a war with Twitter followers or whatever.
Have you watched any other good? I mean, Sunderland Till I Die was another good doc. You know, given watched it,
smashed it. That was good. That was really good. I actually watched Coach Carter for the first time, which I hadn't watched. I know that's just kind of a movie, but it was just cool. But Emma Hayes actually texted me last night about the Test, which is on the Australian cricket team.
I haven't watched that yet. I heard that's phenomenal.
She said she hates cricket, but she said she likes the Australian cricket team now. And I was like, oh, well, that's probably... She's like, you guys love them over there. I was like, oh, it depends who you talk to. Like, you know, so up and down. But, I actually love cricket, so I'll definitely have to watch that once Nikki leaves.
Okay, that's good. That's on the record. And Emma Hayes, now a fan of the Australian cricket team as well. Hey, quickly, side note, do you know how long Nikki's staying for? Because when can you go get back Norway? What's happening with her leave?
Yeah, so she can get back to Norway, but I can't ever go to Norway because they've blocked out non-residents. And she has a residence card. I think her league has a meeting today. It could be in a week. It could be, you just don't know. It's the annoying thing. True. It's like you're just kind of living day to day with no kind of direction. And that's being an athlete, that's like really weird to do. I mean, you're the same with your job. Like you have A-League game after A-League game. It's like, where am I going next? Like, I don't know. Normally I'm home for 4 days max and I'm on the bus going somewhere or flying here. Yeah. But now it's just like, kind of feels like blah, you know, just like stuck.
Yeah, it is definitely difficult when the day, you don't know what day it is. Not a nice feeling when you go, oh yeah, it's Friday, and someone goes, no, actually it's Wednesday, and then you look at them as you get your coffee and you're like, yeah, happy Wednesday.
I know, and I can tell when it's the weekend here, mainly because there's more people on the street.
Yeah.
But I always, like, when I'm home or there's sport, I love when it gets to like Thursday night, because you're like, oh, sport's coming. I'm gonna have stuff to watch, you know, like there's a vibe of people like coming together to watch sport, and now it's just like, it could be freaking Sunday night for all I know, and there could be like, I don't know, it's just bizarre. Like, yeah, it's really bizarre.
I bet, because we know how much, like, Aussie, we love our sport. It's part of our culture. Mm-hmm. But over, you know, conversely in the UK as well, football is a second language, you know what I mean? So I can imagine that people are the same there, and there's such a culture around going to the pub and watching the games from the afternoon that people would be feeling the same as well, and don't have necessarily the beach or hikes or whatnot and access to that, because it's a bit more population dense, especially where you are, even though you've got a beautiful park. So if the sun's out, people are, you know, lying in their bikinis in the park. It's just a different lifestyle, I guess.
It definitely is. And I'm ashamed to say that I haven't been in my bikini, but I've been one of those people that has sat in the park to get some vitamin D. And I was like, what am I doing? It's 20 degrees. That's a winter's day in Perth. And I'm sitting here in shorts and a t-shirt. Like, it's kind of crazy how your mind changes. Like, this morning I woke up and it was 7 degrees. And I was like, oh, 7 degrees and sunny, I'll wear shorts and a hoodie. Whereas in Australia, I wouldn't go outside if it was 7 degrees. Like, I went for a walk today. But your mind changes, you know, like 20 degrees here, you're like, oh, I'm going outside, I'm going to go to the park and have a picnic. Whereas 20 degrees in Sydney, if it's windy, that's cold.
Do you feel like it's been an interesting kind of introduction to life over there then? I mean, nothing was ever going to be normal and usual, because, you know, it's such a big move, and then you have to get used to that and your neighbourhood and your surroundings in Southwest London. But because you went, you moved, played for Chelsea, lifted silverware, Olympic qualifiers, that was, it was China, then it was Australia, in camp for a really long time, great to be back with the girls, go back home to London, and then it's don't come to training, bye-bye, go home, you know, just...
Yeah. You wouldn't believe how many of my Chicago teammates have texted and said, I think this year is a sign that you should have never left. So many bad things have happened. You know, I got here, I got terribly sick.
Yeah.
I then got injured, and then, you know, came back, coronavirus has locked me down. I've really only played 7 games for Chelsea, and like, it's just been a whirlwind. And this year, like, I was really looking forward to next year being at Chelsea and kind of experiencing like a full year of, you know, English football, English, like I had no major tournament next year, but now it's like, yeah, all over again of traveling all around the world. So it's been kind of crazy, but I mean, I love it here. And I want to experience it and do it. So I'm happy here, and I feel like Chelsea has looked after me the best I can be, and you know, those are the things that kind of build trust with the club, and for me that's been really important, that they haven't just, you know, been like, all right, see you in months. They've been really taking care of their players, which has been nice.
And I guess it, you know, it, the goalposts change as well, because it's not, well, the Olympics is off the table for this year. I mean, I had to get my head around saying year, because at the time where we're at. So the what you thought this season at Chelsea, like you said, and this year would look like, and what you'd have in the middle of the year back with the Matildas, that all goes up in the air, and you have to kind of, and I guess you like to have loose plans and know when, okay, this is my plan, this is when I can potentially go to Norway, or I can go to Perth and see family and things like that. So do you find that a little bit difficult, or are you just kind of like, I've given myself to the process that we just don't know, and it's just day by day?
Yeah, I think it is difficult, but I'm trying not to kind of think too far ahead. Yeah. I did a Zoom call actually the other day with one of our brands that I work with, and Matty Ryan was on the call, and he kind of said, you know, for him, no matter where he is, like being away from New South Wales is work. And it kind of like rang a bell, and I was like, you know, that is true. So for me, home will always be Perth, and you kind of plan your life around football, but then you'll be able to come home. So this has put like a real spanner in the works. Like, I don't know when I'll be able to come home. I don't know when I'll get my next off year, because now when you think about it, next year's Olympics, then Asian Cup, then World Cup, then Olympics again. So the next off year for Matilda is 5 years away now, when it was only 1 year. So there's no room for injury now, which is stressful. There's no room for time off. You know, there's no room for girls in our team getting pregnant now. I try to not think too far ahead, because I'm like, I had kind of my whole life planned out next year. You know, you've done 4 year gap of like work every year. And now it's okay, 5 more years. So we'll be going for like, I know people think, oh, you're not playing a major tournament this year, but it's not a break because we're in this isolation and lockdown.
Yeah. It's when you say it like that, I think, wow, it definitely changes your schedule and what, like tournament after tournament of what is ahead, actually.
Yeah, and I feel lucky. Like, I was watching an interview of Simone Biles the other day, and she's like, I was meant to retire in 3 months, and now I've got 15 months left. And like, as a gymnast, 15 months is like your career. Like, you don't have time as a gymnast. Like, you know, once you hit 22, you're an old gymnast. Like, so for an individual athlete, I think it would be even worse, but I'm lucky I have a team to kind of roll with. But yeah, they're just relying on themselves, really.
And talking about, you've obviously been in contact with Chelsea and your teammates and checking in with the Matildas. Has there been anyone else that you've been checking in with quite regularly? Like you mentioned, speaking of 40, how's she coping through life in isolation as well? I think she's got a housemate, does she?
I think she's kind of isolated with other teammates who have stayed in England. But yeah, she seems happy. I mean, she's loving it, which is great. I think, you know, there's every opportunity to love it. It's literally amazing. You can't, I try and explain it to girls in the Matildas. It's just literally like a footballer's dream being over here. You know, you don't have to explain who Chelsea Football Club is to anyone really in the world. And you don't have to explain what you do. As you say, you play for Arsenal or Chelsea, people are interested, and you know, you have all these facilities and stuff. So yeah, she's enjoying it. But obviously speaking to, you know, people like Van Egmon and all those types of girls, Steph Catley. But we have Zoom calls where we have split up groups. So I've been in contact with Kaya, Carly, Jenna, you know, all the girls quite regularly actually. And I think it's been a really good initiative by the staff in the Matildas to do that. One, to keep us busy and working towards something. We've been reviewing the arm games, but also like it gives us a football kind of, I guess, the football drug, you know. We're watching our games back, watching, you know, future opponents and I guess learning while we're not playing football.
Yeah, it is a good point as well. It kind of keeps you sharp and connected to all of the girls as well. I wanted to ask you, it just struck into my mind, like you said, people know Chelsea and know Arsenal and those, you know, names like that. Have you in your neighbourhood been recognised yet, or has anyone gotten a little bit starstruck? Like, you know, have you met your neighbour and he's, you know, he's the Australian accent and says, you know, what are you doing over here? You know, are you a teacher, a lawyer? And you go, oh, actually, I'm a football player. And he's thinking, oh, great, football, like on the weekends. And you're like, oh, no, Chelsea. And he kind of drops his groceries. Like, how does that go?
Yeah, so I live in like an apartment block, and I rent here, but a lot of people own here. Mm. So it's actually funny. I don't know how, but they all knew that I played for Chelsea, and they've Googled me, and they're all very excited. Like, I walk past and everyone's like, hi, Sam. And I'm like, who is this guy? But one of the guy who kind of takes care of the apartment blocks, he's like the go-to guy. He is like an original Chelsea fan. So he is like hard out Chelsea fan. And my neighbor above me was telling me, like, he literally was one of the Chelsea fans that used to dress up in other teams' colours when Chelsea fans were banned from going into games because they were so bad and aggressive. And he used to sneak into field, like grounds, and then come out as a Chelsea fan and like fight. And he's like this cute old man. And I'm like, I can't imagine him doing that. But they've all been really helpful. And like, it's kind of been nice while I've been home, because normally I go and I leave a lot, so I haven't really met them, but they've all been really helpful. And there's been a few, there's a little guy that's asked me to play tennis against me, but you know, they're all so sweet. But me and Nikki were running the other day, and we were running like quite fast, and someone ran past us and was like, Sam Kerr, and I just like kept running because I was obviously running in the middle of a workout. But I think like it was an Aussie dude, so I don't know if I knew him, but I feel like if I knew them, they would have contacted me. But
if you ever, if you're out there and if you watch this, if it's you, Sam says hello then. And you live in London.
Yeah. I thought it was my friend's boyfriend, but it wasn't. But I don't know who it was. But there's a lot of Aussies out in London, so might have been.
Would have been. I have to ask you, I know you're obviously in isolation, and I'll let you go very soon because I know that you've got a really busy day ahead.
I'm gonna go run as everyone does.
You gotta do a 12k run. Excusing your present company of Helen and Nikki, who is the one person that you're going to lockdown with?
That's a one person. That's difficult. At the moment, it'd probably have to be my sister because she's got a newborn. I think I haven't seen her in a while. Mum would probably kill me for saying that, but no, I think it would have to be my sister at the moment because, just for the fact that she's got a new bubba that I've only seen once, and probably someone from the family, you know?
Yeah, I get that. Keeps the curs happy.
Oh, my dog.
Of course. Who would you not like to be in lockdown with? Yes. And it doesn't have to be a teammate. It can just be like, one of your mates.
No, I actually have said that I wouldn't want to be locked down with my roommate of the Matildas, Emily Van Egmont, because I love her to death and I love rooming with her. But during a pandemic, she's a stress head, and it would actually scare me because she's so funny. Like any bit of news she sends me, she's like, have you seen this? I'm like, I cannot with you. Like, she's so funny. She's hilarious, and it would be so funny, but she would stress me out to the max. So I've said a million times, love her to death, but not in ISO.
So would Em be the type of person, if she's in Newcastle, if she's back home, is she kind of gloves, mask, stay away from me, sign that says keep your distance?
I don't know if she's like that, but Emily without the pandemic is kind of like that anyway. Like if someone coughs near her, she's like without this pandemic, someone starts coughing, someone sneezes, like even without coronavirus, she's like, so she would definitely be the type of person to be doing the U-turn around people on a walk, and but it's all funny. But yeah, she's a nut of that one.
She was prepared for this moment by the sounds of it.
Yeah, she knew this was coming.
And when all of this passes, when this moment in time in history does, what does your first day out of isolation look like?
Oh, I mean, are we talking if everything was to go just back to normal?
Yeah. I mean, okay, and I know it's difficult because normal is a loose confine, but.
Yeah. So outside of football, obviously, because I'll probably be straight back to training. Outside of football, like my dream day would be honestly going and getting a meal and having maybe a glass of wine with my friends. I'd miss like kind of doing that, just meeting somewhere for a meal, socializing, hanging out in the sun. So yeah, I'd probably, if I was home, I'd probably go to my local, have a nice steak and just enjoy being outside and not feeling stuck. But yeah, I definitely know that there's a few of us that are already planning a dinner and drinks at one of the girls' house to just kind of relax and enjoy being around other people.
I'll let you go. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, your time this evening, our time over here. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy your 12K run and take care during isolation. Can't wait to see you back out in the pitch, hopefully sooner rather than later, and be safe.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarah.
Really good to chat.